This is Conor Lennon from UN News. An innovative new initiative to track terrorists as they attempt to travel has been launched at UN headquarters. The United Nations Countering Terrorist Travel Programme provides countries with the technology to improve surveillance whilst protecting personal data and human rights. I asked Jelle Postma, Chief of the Countering Terrorist Travel and Aviation Security Section in the UN Office of Counterterrorism, why the UN has decided to launch the programme.
The UN stands ready to help countries implement this obligation. It is a heavy load. It is quite complex for a country to implement this. Costly as well, because the technology you need is quite expensive. And of course, you need well-equipped professionals with a high sense of knowledge and expertise to work with the detection capacity you build. What you're going to need is to build what some call a passenger information unit, or some call it a targeting center. It is a unit that receives travel information and compares it with databases of people we know pose a threat, terrorists or serious and organized crime, and compare it to risk indicators, as we call it, to identify new networks that were previously unknown but might pose a threat. So all this together needs to be built, and for doing this you need legislation. You must make sure that proper safeguards for data protection and of course in full respect for human rights. This is a complex instrument, but it's also a very powerful instrument to detect terrorists. So we must offer this, but at the same time we must fully ensure that everything is done with high regard for data protection and of course other human rights.
Give me an example of some of the ways that the UN can help national governments.
This is quite a new way for the UN to work. It is done with all relevant bodies of the UN, combining their knowledge and expertise and also their mandates from both the Security Council and the General Assembly to, in a very innovative and practical way, deliver both legislation, operational capacity, and in the end, technology, which is state of the art and never been done by the UN in this way, and it really will help them to learn how to work with the power of the technology, and make sure that they indeed also cooperate on the international platform. We will help them to engage with their neighbors, to improve the information exchange, as in counterterrorism is always a very big challenge, the information exchange, getting the right information at the right desk at the right time. And this is the second big part of this program. We'll also make sure that they connect to each other and exchange information on terrorists.
One of the big concerns the UN has raised recently has been the return of the very many former so-called Islamic State fighters returning to their countries of origin. Will this kind of initiative help to prevent these kind of people from falling through the cracks and returning undetected, because many of them are deemed to still be a danger to those national governments?
Yes, absolutely. We will help countries detect their own nationals on return, but also others in transit to other areas of the world, because not all of them go home. Some will engage elsewhere in new fights, move to new conflict zones, or get improvement on their training or preparing to plot for new attacks. So indeed, in all these cases, you will see that this new methodology, this new capability will help them identify these people on the move, absolutely. Together, maybe even with people you didn't know before. Maybe you know about one terrorist, their identities, but maybe this person would travel in group with other formerly unknown people. In this way, you can create a network analysis, so to speak, and identify new threats.
You mentioned earlier that financing, that funding is an important part of this. For countries that have less money, what can the UN do to ensure that they are able to better track people?
So this is exactly the purpose of this program. This technology is also for sale. You can call any software company and get a similar system. You will pay millions and millions and millions of dollars for that. The UN donates this system for free, no cost involved. We will help them get up and running. And indeed, with the technology for free, we will help them indeed implement the obligations under 2396 at a very low cost rate. So imagine if we could help 160 countries. And imagine a system like this could cost between $10 and $50 million. If you multiply that, you see the enormous effect and efficiency this program has.
These kind of surveillance methods must be balanced against human rights. What can you do to ensure that we don't end up in a situation where this is an excuse for blanket surveillance?
So this is a very important question, and it's a really rightful question to ask in two ways. First, we built this technology with already safeguards for data protection in place. So after a certain period of time, the personal data will become not visible for the operator automatically. The data will be erased after a certain period of time. Also, sensitive data elements such as sexual preference, union, membership, all those sensitive items will be automatically deleted by the system before it enters in the so-called passenger information unit. So there's already, from a technical point of view, safeguards in place. Then second, we work with the national governments and also with the international, we call Interparliamentarian Union, the union of all parliaments global, to work closely together to make sure that each country will adopt their own national legislation with high safeguards in place. So you must think, you can think about purpose limitation, as you would call it. What are you allowed to do with the data? You will talk about independent oversight, someone protected to monitor the use of the data in such a unit and report in a transparent and open way to the parliament, for example, to make sure that there's complete transparency on the way this works. So both from a technical and a legislative point of view, we have safeguards in place.